And I welcome all of you fine people to the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. We will be broadcasting this spectacle multiple times because it's going to be so good, it should play almost continually. But the original broadcast is at about 2:13 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the 24th of March, 3 months away from when it was Christmas Eve. But a very different time. Well, it's warmer weather, getting, as we often do in Ohio during the transition seasons, all four seasons in 1 week. Decent day today, seasonable temperatures, good walking weather. We do have a stay-at-home order. You can go out and take a walk, and I certainly encourage you to do that. And you can also go to the pharmacy, to your favorite grocery store, etc. But one good thing about this time, if there ever is a silver lining, it could not be a better time to listen to the radio for talk, for opinions, for insight, and as we always have on this station, always a surprise or two. Sometimes I do a live program, sometimes I repeat my little chit-chat with Dr. Ron Feynman, and sometimes we do what we're going to do today, which is speak to another one of my brothers in broadcasting. We're going to go pretty far away, though, to the other side of the world, to Wales in the United Kingdom, to welcome again Nick C.J., whom I've been working with in multiple capacities for a good 6-7 years. I've already lost track. Let's see if I properly duct-taped all the cables, plugged A into B, and turned up the volumes, or as we call in the radio business, POTS. And let's hear if we have a signal from the great continent of Europe. Nick C.J., are you here?
Bonne glau, Adam, yes.
Well, that's just fantastic. Let me turn the volume up just a teeny tiny bit here, so I'm sure our esteemed listeners can hear us loud and clear. Now, for those who've not had the pleasure of hearing you on the radio with me previously, why don't you tell us exactly where your domicile is?
I'm in a place called Bochrude, which is a little tiny village just outside the gorgeous town of Brecon, which has a cathedral but is only a town, not a city. And it's in mid-Wales, very near to the Brecon Beacons, which are spectacular, apart from they caused a big problem this weekend because everybody thought, being as we weren't on lockdown but we were supposed to be being self-aware and not mixing, that we'd go and walk up a mountain. So hundreds and hundreds of people went and walked up the mountains near us, the Brecon Beacons, and were cheek by jowl all the way up, so it didn't work. So that's why Boris Johnson yesterday, last night, brought in the regulations that we can't mix now.
Yeah, speaking of Boris, Nick, do you agree with me that he kind of looks like Donald Trump? They have the same hairdo. Many similarities just in their appearance and their personalities. They're both kind of avant-garde, kind of non-traditional. Certainly he was a change from Theresa May, Margaret Thatcher, and some others. The general feeling about Boris Johnson, I know he's very controversial, just like Donald Trump. Is it more of a positive vibe there in the UK or more of a negative, or a lot of people not quite sure how to take him?
A lot of people didn't like him originally. He was the mayor of London for many years and did a lot of good work. The funny thing was that when the election came, we were at a point where Brexit, even though the majority of people, 52%, had voted for Brexit, the government for 3 years under Theresa May had been being beaten down, and they stopped Brexit. And Boris Johnson promised that he would implement it. So he got votes from both sides, from the sides that didn't necessarily want Brexit. They just wanted a solution because they were fed up of waiting 3 years, not knowing what was going to happen. So he's been very, very good at what he promised he would do. He's stepped up to the mark now, certainly. He's been very, very good. And he's quite Churchillian in the way that he reacts with the public.
Yeah, just he's very different from the other British PMs that we've experienced. So you would say then the similarity to Donald Trump is obvious physically, but in terms of how he rules and his knowledge, they're two very different men. Would that be an accurate assessment?
Yeah, I mean, if I was to judge the two, and they were two guys I met in the street, Boris Johnson looks a bit like a bumbling fool, but has a very astute brain inside there that's working very, very fast, and that's the reason that he trips over his words sometimes.
Yeah, he's a character, and that's, you want to have a personality, yeah. You know, the charisma of a world leader is so important. You know, Donald Trump, he's just so different. Reagan, although I wouldn't say I'm a big fan of his politics, he had a lot of charisma. Of course, he was a great actor. So he had plenty of practice, but the charisma is so important. And that's been an issue with Joe Biden. He just isn't, he's kind of blasé. He's also a bit too old with terms of politics. I mean, he's a moderate liberal. I mean, for the most part, I would agree with his stand. But as a man, we'll lose some charisma versus Trump and versus Obama if he becomes president. But we'll find out. Certainly the election, even though it seems to be kind of put on hold for now for good reason, will be arguably one of the most interesting ever. We said the same thing about the Hillary versus Donald election, that I think this is going to be 10 times interesting-er. Now, Nick, you are in, we mentioned Wales in the United Kingdom, and the coronavirus problem, which we're going to discuss, among other things, during this call, because we haven't been on the air with you in a while, which, sorry about, but we'll try to get you on more often, because it's always a good time. Got to love the accent. Of course, I'm sure to you, I have an accent. kind of goes both ways. The coronavirus issue, Nick, is worldwide. There's pretty much nowhere in the world that it's not affecting people's livelihoods, the economy, and their health. It is an interesting disease. I mean, as a person with a chem background, chemistry major that I was, always interested in viruses, in pathology, and people's health. In most cases, if people get the virus, it'll be like a mild flu or a cold. You may not even know you have it. Some people may get it and be very ill, or even it may even be fatal. It tends to be more serious for those who have other medical conditions and also those who are older, but there have been younger people who've been affected and become gravely ill. It's certainly mysterious. We want to get it solved as soon as possible. Give us a timeline, Nick, maybe going back the last 2 months. How has the British government handled the coronavirus pandemic, and how do you compare that to the way that Donald and his people have handled it?
Well, I mean, obviously the other countries I've only watched from a distance, and obviously we weren't as draconian as the Chinese were. I mean, when they say... we're closing everything down. Everything closes within a minute, and they just arrest and drag people off. So you never know what's happening. I don't know how strong it is in the States. We don't get a lot of news about the States, but we do from Italy. And Italy seems one of the worst affected. And I've got a very good friend in northern Italy, just outside Milan. And he sends regular bulletins to Facebook about what their day is like there. And basically, two weeks ago, they were where we are today with the start of the shutdown, and we're in full lockdown now. So you can't go out unless you've got an excuse to go out. You can be stopped by the police. All shops have shut, apart from food shops, banks, and essentials, but I mean, they're classing the electrical shops and DIY shops and builders merchants and things like that aren't essential. So it's chemists, doctors, banks. That's about it, really. I mean, even me as an electrical stroke computer person, I'm not really allowed to trade with an open shop. But of course, like you, I can do all of my support remotely, or most of it, unless something's actually blown up. And then I've got people dropping stuff off in a carrier bag. It's hung on the gate, brought in with gloves, and then disinfected and then checked over. So I've done a few repairs still, but most of my stuff is web-based, and luckily I had two big web contracts just before this kicked off about 2 weeks ago.
You mentioned chemists. That means pharmacist. here in the United
pharmacist,
States.
Yeah.
Of course, they do work with chemicals, but one of those British terms that we enjoy. It's so cool to hear the differences in the language. We're speaking with one of my brothers
funny,
in broadcasting.
You go to see the pharmacist in the chemists here.
Yes. Interesting, and we speak the same language. But, I mean, there are dialects in different parts of the country. Like people say y'all in the South, and some people say it even in Ohio, but for the most part, the you all or the y'all is more of a Southern addition or adjustment to our language. Well, some of the food and just some of the idioms, and of course in the UK, we have even more differences, so language has always been an interest of mine, and so it's always nice to speak to someone who speaks the same language, but may use some different interpretations of some of the verbiage and different ways of saying a particular sentence. We are speaking with Nick C.J., one of my brothers in broadcasting, a fellow IT person from his domicile in Wales, here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. When you mentioned Italy, Nick, and I know you have an affinity for Spain. I believe your dentist is there, and you like going there. Nice country, great food. Have you heard a lot about what's going on in Spain and some other countries that are in Western Europe?
Yeah, everything that we've heard is similar to what's starting here now. Total lockdown. I've got a place in Spain, which is a family residence, but obviously we haven't been able to visit that and won't be probably this year. So the only thing we can do is look through our closed circuit TV and just check that the place is okay. It's a very weird situation. People are talking about, you know, having to still take their pets for a walk. That's a big thing in most countries, and it's the desolation. And the funny thing was that I spoke to my daughter on the phone, who lives in South Wales, the other day, and we were chatting away, and she said, "Hey, Dad, it's like the film Legend," which, of course, I remember the original of that, which was The Omega Man, which I don't know if you remember, but the world was plague-ridden with zombies, in essence, and everything became desolate and just locked up in your house, trying to protect yourself.
I talked with Ron Feynman yesterday about the magnitude of events in the world. And, of course, we had the Civil War. You and I both had the Revolutionary War before we were born, but it certainly was a major event. But that's one shared between the UK and the United States. Do you see this, Nick, as possibly being the biggest event in either of our lifetimes? Not just the event itself, but the after effects of the economy, unemployment, which we're already seeing. The stock market, it's doing fairly well when we're taping this show, but it had dropped about a third, lost all the gains under the Trump administration. And I would imagine that financial markets aren't doing too well in your neck of the woods either. But combined with the incident itself, the events following it, and the repercussions that will last, I would think, for generations. Do you see this as arguably being the biggest event that's ever occurred, and especially in our lifetimes, or maybe something else has overshadowed it?
I think possibly longer than our lifetimes. I think it's very different to World War II, which I've looked at and studied, but people have changed. The people in World War II, and you've probably seen those pictures of what a ration pack looked like. I don't know if they had rations in the US, but we had rationing here with little books, and you had to go to the butchers, and you could get for a week's supply for one person. It was literally like a dessert spoon of butter and one egg and two rashers of bacon and maybe a little pork chop or something. And when you look here at the stuff that we've had on the news, so we had the wartime spirit, and everybody dug in together, even though they were having bombs dropped on them and things like that. And then you look at here, the minute that they mentioned that they might be locked up for a second, everybody went and cleared the supermarkets. And I did take some photographs, which I put on Facebook, of our supermarket cleared. I mean, literally, they had taken all of the canned goods, all of the toilet paper, which seemed to be the biggest commodity, Everything, dried goods, pasta. It was just incredible. And so that sort of spirit of everybody digging in together and helping each other doesn't seem to exist now. People are very selfish. We've had several people arrested in Wales that have been going around coughing on old people as a sort of assault, basically, thinking that they could get away with it. They're under arrest and in cells now. So I think that will hopefully come to an end. But people have a very different attitude nowadays to the elderly and to each other. So I think it's a little bit sad.
Yeah, on the money front. I mean, laughter is the best medicine. And I don't take anything, including myself, overly seriously. But coughing on elderly people, that is inexcusable, regardless of whether or not we have a medical crisis like we do now. And those kids, well, lock them up and throw away the key for at least a few years, as far as I'm concerned. No sympathy at all. It's not funny. There's a line that will be drawn. It seems
on the money front, Adam, I think I can see the world going bankrupt, to be honest. I was writing a thing this morning for a little sort of diary entry for myself, and I consider myself quite tough. You know, I served in the military. I was in the military police. I practiced karate for a few years, and I sort of think of myself as a little bit of a hard nut. And I couldn't sleep last night. I was in palpitations after Boris Johnson's lockdown thing, and I woke up this morning with palpitations and a great fear of sort of dread and woe at what we're leaving for kids and... I'm now a grandfather, so, you know, grandkids in the future, because I think we're going to leave them with a bit of a bankrupt country or bankrupt world. Over here, they're paying, we have a property tax that you pay annually, what we call rates or poll tax. And so on a property like mine, it's £2,000 a year. They're going to give us a little bit of a rebate on that. Employed people are going to get given by the government 80% of their wages every week. I can't see where that's going to come from. It just seems that we're going to end up bankrupt because we're not producing anything. We've got no GDP, and the government is promising to give away money left, right, and centre so that we don't suffer.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of bars and restaurants ever recovering. They do fine as long as they have business. But we've gone St. Patrick's Day. We may go Cinco de Mayo, March Madness. All this stuff has not happened. And even if we're okay by Cinco de Mayo and graduation season, hopeful resumption of baseball season, the recovery is going to be a slow process. And it's really sad. And Donald Trump has mentioned the impact of the economy worse than the problem. Well, that's food for thought. You know, again, regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, it needs to be addressed. And it's a horrible question. How do you prioritize? I don't know. That's beyond my knowledge, certainly. And there are just so many things in this world that make it great, that make human beings a species that can enjoy their lives and be productive and leave a legacy, as you mentioned, Nick. And so much of that is being interrupted. It may never be the same, and I don't know what to say. I guess we'll find out. You know, the mystery of this, not knowing even tomorrow what things will be like, that's part of the worry. And we're all in this together, and it's a difficult process without question. Well, switch gears a bit, Nick. Talk about maybe something lighter, but you would have more knowledge of it. Prince Harry and his lovely wife, Meghan. I guess I don't know specifically, so you would probably know. They are no longer part of the royal family. They've just decided they'll be regular people and live in Canada. Is that what's going on with them? Or what's the perspective and what's the hubbub from your neck of the woods about those two?
That, I believe, is the concept, and I think it was a concept that they came up with together. I think maybe mainly driven by Meghan Markle, sure most of the British public believe that, that he's had his head turned a little bit to do that. But I think she's also seen Canadian dollar signs and thought of what they could make, etc. The big problem is things like the fact that even if he gives up his title and things like that, that he's still, you know, he still needs bodyguards and protection for a long time after he's been in sort of off in the royal office, and he's going to have to find that now, and that apparently is something like £2 million a year just for protection. So who knows how it's going to go. And also, right, they'd trademarked every single sort of, you know when you and I both advise customers that are going to take on a new web domain, you know, that if it's Fred Blogs Sausage Rolls, you advise them to get fredrollssausagerolls.com and .info just to protect them, and here.co.uk to protect them. They have got the intellectual copyright on Sussex Royals for everything. And of course, they're not royals now, and they've been told that they're not allowed to use that. So they spent a lot on IP, intellectual property rights for this domains and websites and Facebooks and trademarks, and they won't be able to use them. So who knows what will happen on that one. The interesting one that they've been touting here is that apparently Megan has asked Marvel Comics or DC Comics if she can be a superhero in a film. Don't know if you've heard that one over there.
That's a new one on me, but she certainly is full of surprises. So bottom line is, they don't have to be actively part of the royal family, but Prince Harry has royal blood. That's how he was born. That will never change. So they can distance themselves, not have any official duties, but he still has ties in some regard to the Queen and the rest of the royal family. I think some of the royal family stuff, Nick, seems to be, especially the gossip type stuff like this, seems to be bigger. And here in the United States, we're kind of obsessed with the royal family than it might be there, probably because we don't have a royal family. The government in some ways is similar, in some ways is quite different. So we kind of hear things. We hear people gossiping, prognosticating, but what's actually happening probably isn't as big of a story as we're led to believe. And in your neck of the woods, maybe there are just bigger things to worry about. But certainly,
I think she'd like to be Princess Melania if she could.
Yeah, certainly Melania, very different as a first lady. And right now, of course, in the United States primary, Tulsi Gabbard has dropped out. The only two Democratic candidates are Joe Biden, we talked about him a little bit briefly earlier, and Bernie Sanders, and they're very different. Bernie Sanders being very much to the left. I refer to him as a borderline communist. I make no apologies for that, and a communist sympathizer, that his socialist policies are bordering with communism. I don't see them as being the same as the Scandinavian democratic socialism. They really are quite different. Plus, he's not a good speaker, and he's very annoying, and he's also too old. Now, Joe Biden, also too old. There are certain issues with his charisma, with his mental alertness, but he's a bit more mainstream when it comes to his own beliefs. Nick, you certainly are closer to the countries with a known democratic socialist type of government, Scandinavia, for example. Do you agree with me or that Sanders is not, his politics are not consistent with what we see in countries like Sweden or Finland? Or is that kind of what his goal is? Maybe I've misjudged him. What's kind of the feeling about his politics, especially compared to Northern Europe, in your neck of the woods, in Western Europe?
Well, he came to our Festival of Literature last year, Bernie Sanders, and a lot of the young people liked him, but then a lot of the young people are socialists here. I didn't get to see him, so I can't really judge him on that. But He was very popular amongst the audiences here, but mainly youngsters that were socialist. I don't know. It's very difficult. I am so the other way. I've always voted Conservative my whole life, apart from one vote, which I did for the Brexit Party, because I was just again getting so fed up because the Conservatives wouldn't carry out Brexit. So that was a demonstration vote, but I've never voted, we call them Labour here, socialists, doesn't float my boat at all. But it does seem to work in a couple of Scandinavian countries, and people that I know that have got family out there say that it works very well, but they you know, everything is very expensive. The wages are high, but everything is expensive.
Yeah, it's very different. It's not really an apples to apples comparison. Plus, we are a capitalist country. We are the land of opportunity. And I don't even want a system that Northern Europe has, even if it were to be as successful or be as well liked. I like the idea of capitalism. And there are obviously some unfair parts of it. The trickle down, the Reaganomics, that's part of capitalism. It doesn't have to be to the extent that some people envision it as, but it is part of the system. And there are people with different amounts of wealth. There are some breaks given to corporate America. And the idea of trickle-down is companies like Amazon, they hire people, they provide benefits and provide good jobs, even if it seems like they're getting richer and richer. And it's not a perfect system. But again, as I see it, not only do I not want a socialist type of system, I like the idea of land of opportunity, make your own destiny, capitalism. Bernie Sanders, he is the absolute wrong choice. Not unlike, for example, Justin Trudeau, who is young, very well-spoken, has excellent charisma. I wouldn't call Canada a country that's leaning toward socialism, but it certainly is much more liberal than the United States right now. So, I mean, pieces of socialism, perhaps. Someone like him is certainly a better spokesperson. But Bernie Sanders, you know, I don't think he's going to win the primary, and thank goodness for that. But I think people really need to open up their eyes and their ears and watch what they're voting for, because he's not a good choice. So I think, economically, Nick, and not surprisingly, because we're both small business operators, we're conservative fiscally, but more to the left on some of the people issues. I'm an independent. And the more I see the division between the parties and the candidates, the more independent I become. And that's, again, all part of freedom of speech, which certainly every American enjoys. Talk radio, that's about as much of a freedom of speech as you can get. Again, Nick, like myself, you're a IT generalist. You do websites and programming, customizations of servers of various types. Fix servers when they're not serving very well, so to speak. And, of course, repair computers. You said people are dropping off computers to your office. Then you disinfect them. No contact at all. Tell us exactly what process you're following, because I'm kind of intrigued by that. If I were to be in your neck of the woods and wanted you to work on my laptop, I guess I could call you or message you. What would you tell me to do to get the laptop to you, and what precautions would you be following as you begin to work on it?
Okay, so the customers ring me or email me, a couple of them sort of Facebook message, and then I ring them, and I've got a very large plastic sort of storage box which sits outside the front door of my house, which is next door to my office, and they're instructed to leave it in there in a carrier bag with all of their passwords that I might need, just to save me phoning them up. And the power supply, if it's a laptop, or if it's a special power supply for some of the odd Lenovo PCs and things. And they'll leave that there. And then I wait till they've gone, and then I go out and collect it. It's quite a plague mentality. And then I use very lightly covered antibacterial surface wipes, a non-bleaching one, which kills 99.9% of bacteria, as do all of those things, and it's given a good wipe over, especially the keyboards. And I'm wearing rubber gloves while I do that. And then once it's dried, I set to work, dispose of those rubber gloves, start with a new set of rubber gloves, and then I'll start to work trying to find out what the problem is.
So I guess this is a procedure that you invented, as you certainly have it narrowed down quite well, and really taking quite a bit of precaution. So if someone were to call you, because you, like myself, will do in-calls or going to someone's home or business or factory, somebody calls and says, I need you to come over and I want my RAM upgraded and I want to see why my wireless network isn't working. Also like you to dust the inside of one of my computers. You would tell them, I'm not available for that right now, but the minute I'm able to and it's safe, I will be happy to come to your location. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yeah, I mean, since yesterday, I don't have that option anymore. I could have gone out with the, gloves and mask, etc. But since yesterday, I don't have that option. We're in total lockdown. The only reason I can be out is if I'm shopping or going to a chemist's or a doctor's appointment. Otherwise, I can be fined. So they won't catch me out at all.
Are they aggressively enforcing it, Nick? The enforcement here, if something is obvious, like 20 people gathering in the street, but if you're driving down the road, the police, National Guard, they're not going to stop you. And you and I both know there are people, as we speak right now, who are traveling, and it's not to go to the drugstore or to their job. It's to visit a friend or to some other reason that isn't in the allowed rule set. And there's no active enforcement. They're just looking for obvious violations. And granted, it's a very hard thing to enforce. Are they actively enforcing it? Or do they have checkpoints? Can police just stop people if they suspect that you're traveling illegally? Is it more the honor system like it is here? Or what kind of enforcement is there in the UK right now?
I thought that it was going to be like that. I mean, it didn't start until this morning. But on Facebook, we've got several sort of local boards, and I have heard people say that they've been blue lighted and pulled over and then asked from a distance through their window where they were going, why they were going, were they essential staff, etc. Was there some justification as to why they were out?
So, yes,
they are going to, and apparently you're going to be fined if you're out and there is no good reason.
Yeah, here in Ohio, it's a secondary misdemeanor, which is pretty serious, but the enforcement, it's not something which appears to be occurring, but we certainly encourage people to follow the law. And yes, you can leave your house, but make sure it's for a purpose that is warranted. And if you're someone who works in an essential business, like a grocery store, pharmacy, plumber, HVAC technician, I can't thank you enough for your dedication, for your hard work, not just during this crisis, but any time. Many times people's jobs are thankless. And yes, your paycheck is your thanks. But from a citizen like myself, words won't do it. But if saying thank you and saying you're a great person, hopefully that'll help. In our job as IT pros, Nick, we've seen, of course, some changes since we last talked. Been several weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I'm speaking with Nick CJ, longtime brother in broadcasting. He's been on my radio shows dozens of times. He's also an IT tech small business operator, except he's in Wales in the UK, not here in the great Buckeye State. But, computers, they're almost anywhere. We've seen the discontinuation, Nick, of Windows 7 recently. Of course, some people still use it, myself included. We don't agree fully on whether a Windows 10 migration is a good idea or not. But a lot of it, too, is do you follow security procedures and understand that there just are some limitations in an older operating system? And as a computer tech, it's a little different than if you're not a computer tech and you rely upon someone to provide IT assistance. how are people taking this transition, Nick, to Windows 10 and the retirement of Windows 7? I know Microsoft is working on a new version of Windows. You know, if the Microsoft people are listening right now, maybe they are. What are some of your suggestions to make the next version of Windows more likable? Because, you know, Windows 10, like Windows Vista, a lot of people don't like it, myself included. What do you think Microsoft can do to make the next version of Windows something which we can all agree is an improvement?
My question to you before I answer that, Adam, is are you still on Windows 7 or have you gone to 10?
I have Windows 7 and Windows 10 in my office on my computers that I use here. I have an older MacBook, which I use occasionally. And actually, on the radio computer, it's running XP, SP2, which is probably older than some of our listeners. But a lot of this broadcasting software works better on an older operating system. Plus, it's kind of like you're quarantining it. If you use it properly, understand the limitations, but also understand some of the good things, it's okay. But we certainly encourage people to be careful. So there's I have all four of those operating systems, plus Linux, of course, on my servers. So pretty much five operating systems and that are used regularly, and certainly makes me versatile when it comes to knowing what I can troubleshoot and what I can configure. But every operating system obviously has its good and bad points.
So Windows 10, I only have one customer who has Windows 10 that looks like Windows 10 with what I call the tiles menu. Every single customer of mine uses a system which I install on their machine, which is called Classic Shell, written by a little Russian guy. I've been putting it on since Windows 10 came out, and it makes Windows 10 look exactly like Windows 7. So apart from the horrendous updates that they keep insisting on doing every other day because they didn't get it right in the first place, the OS looks and runs just like Windows 7. And so I get no problems with Windows 10 on that basis. Everybody's happy. Everybody knows how to use it. It's got the menu, so it looks exactly the same as Windows 7 with control panel and all of those sort of things. So that's what everybody has from me. I've been looking at the new Windows 10 X demonstrations, which is going to be designed for these folding screen tablets. So all tablets and phones, they're thinking, will have this new folding screen. And then it'll be a double screen OS. And the idea is that literally it runs as two OSs. And apparently that runs more like Linux / Mac OS in a shell of Windows. So Windows or Microsoft are giving up Microsoft OS, their IBM-based original OS, by the looks of it, in the next generation, and Windows 11.
We just agree partially, but that's okay. You know, everybody agreed. The world wouldn't be quite as fun as it is, but we do agree that the so-called Windows button on Windows 10 really isn't very useful. It was better in XP and 7, and using Classic Shell or a similar program make it look like Windows 7 is generally to people's liking. And hopefully Microsoft will heed that advice. They put out Windows 8, said nobody uses the start button. Well, I use it all the time. In fact, that's one reason why I liked Windows better than some of the newer versions of Mac. They realized that was ridiculous. They put a button back on 8.1, which is next to useless. The one in Windows 10 is a little bit better, but still not quite the robustness of previous versions of Windows. So we certainly can agree it's time to make that button more like older versions of Windows, because people use it, and it also makes accessing programs and customization just so much better. And Nick's pretty much said it. One person uses the Windows 10 look, the Metro interface, I think they call it. Everybody else has Classic Shell. If that doesn't make it obvious, well, I don't know what will. Well, as my mama always said, Nick, time flies when you're having fun, and our show is about ready to come to a conclusion, but that's a good thing. We're having fun and talking about serious topics and topics people gossip about. gossip about, which of course would be the lovely Meghan Markle and the royal redhead, Prince Harry. And again, I probably can agree, they may be more intriguing to people in the United States than in the United Kingdom. Before we close out, Nick, any final words of advice for our listeners on two topics, obviously, computer security and good ways to use your computer, especially during these times, and some safety tips on staying healthy?
I think both of them are stay safe. The message for computer safety and for coronavirus are both just stay safe and think twice before you do anything. So, you know, if there's no reason to go outside and speak to somebody or touch somebody else, don't. And if there's no reason to open an email or touch an email or the contents of an email, don't. Just treat everything in your computer as if it was coronavirus and look at it, analyze it, hover over links. You know, when you get your most of the infections that I see are somebody had an alert from their bank or an alert from PayPal, and it said click here because somebody has compromised your PayPal account. And I always instruct them, just either go to PayPal and ignore the email, or hover over that link and see where it's really going. And it's usually a .Russia link, because or a Chinese link where some hacker is trying to get into your computer. If they want you to download a form or a zip file or a PDF, again, exactly the same thing. And so you have to treat your computer as you would treat yourself. You don't go mixing with people and things that you don't know. And then you'll stay safe.
Yeah, if it smells like a rat, it probably is. I can't think of anything more creative. If you're not sure, and again, this certainly can be done remotely, call your friendly neighborhood computer tech, like myself, or Nick, if you're in the United Kingdom, or if you know either of us, you can message us on Facebook, because we're likely to give you some quick advice. And thank you for asking, because if you get the problem, it's likely 1,000 other people have, and one of those people will fall victim to it, which is kind of a shame. There's a lot of unscrupulous operators out there, let's put it that way. Well, anyway, Nick, CJ, thank you for making an appearance here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Great show, discussing safety during this worldwide pandemic, discussing some current thoughts on the IT world, of course, staying safe in your home office or your place of business, looking at some of the economic aftermaths that we expect when we finally solve this problem, and kind of the state of the world right now. It's scary, but hang in there, folks. We're all on the same team here. We all share the planet Earth. And let's come out of this better than ever. So again, thanks again, Nick. You know, interestingly, it's only 4 hours later in the UK than it is here. Normally it's 5, but you guys have a later daylight savings time. And remind us again, when does daylight savings time take place there in the United Kingdom?
This coming weekend.
Okay, so this coming weekend, Nick will gain an hour, and it'll be 5 hours later in the UK instead of 4. Just some interesting tidbits and food for thought here during the afternoon as we broadcast the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. Of course, you can always listen to this show and other shows, thousands actually, since, you know, I do handle the website, so I can assure you there are over 1,000 shows at this point available on our website, WWGH1071.com. Hope to have Nick on again soon, discussing more events in the world around us, more computer tips, and, you know, like with any show featuring yours truly, always a surprise or two and at least one wisecrack every 5 minutes. Adam Lepp here, thanking you for listening to this special edition of the Adam the Computer Guy radio program on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.